guys. It is so wonderful to be here. And I was just thinking, you know, I don't believe that any one of us are here this morning just by chance or coincidence. I believe that it is the purpose and the will of God that we, each one of us, are gathered together in this place for the purposes of God. You may have fought and struggled and resisted to come this morning, or you may have been awake at 4:30 a.m. as the sun was rising and thinking, God, cause the sun to move quicker so we can get there sooner. It doesn't matter. You're here. I'm here because God has purposed that. And so I would say, let us have open hearts. Let us listen to what the Spirit of God would say to us, what He would speak into our lives, what He would bring to us as His living Word. And we're going to continue in our series, The Cross of Jesus. As Pastor Young Ho said, this was opened up to us from our last time of prayer and fasting a couple of months back. And we just believe that God has got more to say to us from His Word concerning these things. And our message this morning is entitled, Only the Cross. Your notes will have on them our key Bible quote for today. And we will be spending a lot of our time today in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians who lived in the area of Corinth. And I believe that what he wrote in that first chapter and the first few verses of the second are going to speak so profoundly to us this morning and have the potential by the Spirit of God to transform how we see our life. And you say, do you actually mean that, Pastor? Yes, I do. I honestly mean that. I believe that the word that God is going to speak to us today has that power. It has that potential that it can refocus our whole being onto what the true meaning of life really is and what it means to be a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the first two verses, we read these words. Paul says, And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And this is the key phrase that God really arrested my heart with, ready for this morning. He said, For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible details for us some of the journeys that the Apostle Paul took as the Holy Spirit led him and directed him to different places where he preached the gospel. And you have to understand that this was a complete turnaround for this man, Paul, who for some time resisted the gospel of Jesus Christ to the degree that those who were preaching it, he would go around, he would persecute them, he would even have them arrested, and we believe that some were even killed as a result of Paul's activity. Then, of course, we read how that he was converted. And you can read of this in the book of Acts. And we may think of his conversion, how that he was visited by Jesus as he was traveling to a place called Damascus. And a bright shining light, brighter than the noonday sun, struck him. And he was blinded. He fell from his animal. He didn't ride a motorcycle or drive in a Hyundai car. He was riding on a donkey. And the power of God was so great that he fell to the ground. And there and then he had a life-changing experience as he met with Jesus. You know, a lot of people have said to me as they read of the life of Paul, they isolate him as a unique individual. And I get the impression that there are many people who look at the life of the Apostle Paul and do the same. They say that there was only one Paul. There was only one Apostle Paul. And those things that happened to him were quite unique to him. And they go on to say that the life that Paul led, one of absolute devotion to his Lord and Savior, one to the point where he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says, "I consider my life not worth living unless I'm using it to fulfill the purpose that God has given me." And many people consider that Paul is this one-off, special breed of person. But you know what, my friends? I believe that's a deception of the enemy. I believe that every true believer of Jesus, every single one, and if you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning and you're sitting here in this auditorium or you're listening to this message via podcast, I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. Every one of us has the potential to make a difference in this world the same as the Apostle Paul. Let us not be deceived into thinking that Paul was some higher level Christian. But let us believe the truth of the Word of God, which is this: those who believe, these things will happen. Miracles will take place. Souls will be saved. My friends, what made the difference in Paul's life was not the teaching that he had. It was the day he met with the crucified yet risen Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. That transformed him. That's what changed his life. That experience on that road to Damascus, when Jesus said to him, "Saul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me?" That moment when Paul said to Jesus, "What do you want me to do?" That's what changed his life. Because at that moment, he ceased living for himself. And his life was wholly and only and fully for Jesus Christ. What was it? He met with Jesus. My friends, that Jesus is the same Jesus that if we are following and believing in him, it's the same person. So you didn't fall off your motorcycle on your way to Home Plus. You were not blinded for 3 days. You didn't have a man who God sent called Ananias to come and lay hands on you and heal you from blindness and give you good news that you're going to suffer many things for Jesus' sake. But if you've met with Jesus, it's the same Jesus. And Paul was converted. He was transformed. He was born again in just the same way as you and I were. My friends, we don't need these other experiences. We don't need to have people lay hands on us and prophesy over us. The Bible says if we have been born again, if Christ by His Spirit lives and dwells within us, then we are His possession. And we have the potential to be equally as effective as the Apostle Paul. And I want to tell you something else today. Jesus said, you see the things that I've done? And He spoke to His disciples, those who were following Him. You will do the same things and greater. I want to challenge our hearts this morning. Is that what our life looks like? Is it? Is that what our life looks like? Is it reflecting? Is it showing the glory of God? Is the kingdom of God being brought to this earth? Not because you're praying that God does it through somebody else, but that God does it through you and I. That's what these messages are all about. That we know that we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into His light, that we may be the light of this world, drawing people to Jesus Christ. That we may know that our old nature has been crucified with Christ, so that we are free from sin's power. And we can take that message. Oh yeah, maybe to Nepal or to some other foreign land. But my friends, we live amongst people who are dying in their sin. We work amongst them. We shop amongst them. And this is the purpose of this message. That those who are living in darkness, those who have not been freed from the power of sin, may hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul lived for. And when he visited these people in this region of Corinth, he said, "That's all I determined to know among you." He didn't talk politics. He wasn't British. And he didn't talk the weather. We British. "Good morning, how are you?" "I'm well, thank you. How are you?" "Fine. Awful weather we're having this week." That's how it goes. It's like we've got nothing else to talk about. Paul says, "When I was with you, I determined to know nothing." Nothing. He doesn't just mean when I had the opportunity to preach, I preached Jesus and Him crucified. My friends, I believe that every private conversation he had, this was where he turned it. Do you ever meet people who like to turn the conversations around to themselves? Paul loved to turn conversations around to Christ and Him crucified. Only the cross. That's the title of our message this morning. Only the cross. The cross is that which transforms our whole life. You see, Jesus completely paid for our sins. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, it says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness." Oh, and by the way, you've been healed by His wounds. I receive that in Jesus' name. On that cross, the cross of Calvary, every single sin was paid for by Jesus. So that having died to our sins, here is now the purpose of God for our lives, to live for righteousness. To live right before God. but more than that, to bring his righteousness into this world. Also, we learn about that cross that our sinful nature was killed on that cross. Jesus dealt with our sins in his body. God dealt with our sinful nature on the tree. For we know that our old self, our old sinful self, was crucified with him. What tense is that verse written in? Past. Past tense. Our old self was crucified. Here's the message of the cross. Our old sinful self, that which causes us to sin, has been crucified with Christ. In order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to it. Remember, we've mentioned this many weeks, Pastor Young Ho and I. Our old sinful nature has been crucified. As Christians, it is not our pursuit to try and crucify it. It's not our responsibility to die daily to self. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. It doesn't exist. It's a man-made theory. It's actually the devil's theory. Because if he can get us busy with trying to die to self, and if he can get us to do it every day, our focus is completely off what God has already done, which is that Christ has already paid for our sins and our old nature has already been crucified with Christ, so that we may now live righteous lives before God. The cross transforms our whole life. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, my friends, it wasn't just to deal with our sins. It was to deal with our sin nature. It was to deal with every consequence of sin. That's why the Bible says, "Oh, and by his wounds you were healed." Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 prophesies, "For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we were healed." The cross deals and affects and transforms every part of our life. Only the cross. The cross, the wisdom and power of God, and it will not change. Let me read you these verses. For the message, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, to those who are lost in sin, to those who are not seeking to be saved. But to us who are saved, who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. We've talked about this too. The message of the cross to many people who are lost in sin, it seems foolishness. But it is the message of the cross. It is the wisdom of God. And it is the power of God unto salvation. And listen, it will not change. With the greatest love and respect, I want to say this to you if you are not a Christian yet. You may listen to the message of the cross. You may listen to the gospel of the cross. And you may not like it. You may decide that there is some other way that you can get right with God. But I have great news for you. God's never going to change His message. And that may upset you, that may frustrate you, that may annoy you, that may anger you, but so let it be. Because if God were to change just because we didn't like it, how could we ever know that we could trust God in anything? The message of the cross will never change. The power that is within the cross and that gospel message will never change. And even though it seems foolishness to some people, God will never change. You see, human wisdom produces death. People who resist the gospel, people who resist the message of the cross, favor their own wisdom. They consider the message of the cross to be foolish. They consider their own wisdom and their own understanding to be what is important. Let me read you these verses again from 1 Corinthians 1. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Paul identifies two groups of people that at times struggled with the message of the cross. He identified the Jews, the people of the Jewish nation. And he says very often the Jews are people who are looking for a sign. They're looking for something visible and tangible that they can hold on to, that they can believe in, that they can say, now I've seen it, now I'll believe. If you read carefully the account of the crucifixion, you will see a very, very vivid picture of this. The Bible says that when Jesus is hanging on that cross, that there were people around that cross watching what was happening. Some were mocking and jeering him. And the Bible says that there were Jews, religious Jews, chief priests and scribes, the religious people of that time. And people who, by and large, had not accepted Jesus as their Messiah. And indeed, it was many of those people who had whipped up the crowd to call for Jesus to be crucified. It was those religious leaders who had gone to the Roman authorities and said, we don't want this man to rule over us, and we want you to get rid of him. It was those Jewish religious leaders. And here are the same people, and they're standing and they're looking up at Jesus as he is crucified, and they too are mocking him. And they're saying, you who said that you could destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, if you are who you say you are, then come down from the cross. In other words, give us a sign. Show us something that we can see, that our human senses can lock into, and then we'll believe you. My friends, Jesus could have come down from that cross easy. Easy. But you know what? those Jewish leaders would have said, we need to see something else. Then we'll believe. And my friends, we can fall into that category. We can be people for whom the cross and its power and its message is not enough. We can say, God, show me a sign. And when I see that sign, then I'll believe. But we won't. Because if the cross is not enough, nothing will be. It must be only the cross. Because, my friend, whatever the state of our life, whatever circumstance and situation we find ourselves in, the message of the cross is sufficient. For on that cross, Christ not only dealt with our debt of sin, not only did he deal with the nature of sin within us, but my friend, the Bible clearly states that on that cross, the power of sin was broken. And you may be going through what you term hell on earth, in your marriage, in your home, in your work, in your family, in your finances, in your health. And yes, those things that we experience that are outside of the will of God are the result of sin being in this world. Don't go thinking I'm saying to you because you're sick, it's because you've sinned. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said sickness comes because sin is in this world. Adam and Eve never experienced sickness until sin entered their heart. The power of sin was broken at Calvary. And you may be sick and you may be going through horrendous things in other areas of your life, and you may be crying out for a sign and saying, Lord, I wish I could believe in you. I wish I could believe and trust in you that you could bring a miracle in my heart and in my life. Lord, if you would just give me a sign, then I know I could believe. You don't need a sign, my friend, because you've got the cross of Jesus. And that only is enough. That's enough. The work that Jesus Christ accomplished fully and completely at Calvary is enough. That we can, every moment of every day, live in the benefit and the blessing and the good of that completed work of Calvary. And my friends, we don't need a sign. Chances are you have one. The enemy comes and says, was that a sign from God? Was that just your imagination? Was that just coincidence? You don't need a sign. We have the cross of Jesus Christ. The other group of people that Paul highlights here are the Greeks. You have any Greeks here? No Greeks. That's one of the nations that is not represented here. They're on their way. Love the Greeks. I love Greek dressing anyhow. Do you put Greek dressing on your food? One of the things that the Greeks were renowned for was human wisdom, human understanding, debating. And they were always trying to improve their intellect. They were pretty brainy people. They were kind of world leaders when it came to intellect. But you know, you can be the most intellectual person on the face of this planet, and you can miss the message of the cross. These people, these Greeks, when they encountered the gospel, one of their reactions on a regular basis was that they would debate it. They would dissect it. They would break it down to its basic component form to try and see whether it made sense, whether it increased their knowledge. And if it didn't, then they rejected it because it was inferior. They tried to understand the gospel. And my friends, there are many people at that time who, because to them the message of the cross just didn't make sense, they rejected it. They were in amongst those people to whom the gospel, the message of the cross, was foolishness. It didn't compute to their understanding. And my friends, can I say this? Please don't try and understand the message of the cross with your mind. Your mind, however intellectual you are, and with great respect and love to you, your brain doesn't have the ability to understand the message of the cross. But listen, your heart does. Your heart is that part of you which God has created and given to you, which has the ability to believe in that which your brain cannot compute and understand. And there are many things to do with the message of the cross that our brains just don't have the ability. Our intellect doesn't have the ability to understand, because it isn't understood with the human mind. It is believed and received with the heart. So often we say, when I can see it, or when I can understand it, then I'll believe it. My friends, God has given us the heart which has the ability, without having seen any signs, without having understood it with our human brains, we can believe it with all of our heart, and the message of the cross becomes enough. My friends, I know there are many people chasing around this world. Seriously. They're looking for the latest Christian gizmo or gimmick, the latest Christian fad, fashion. I say, let's go back 2,000 years to Calvary, because there at that cross is everything we need. It has the answer. It is the answer. It has always been the answer since Calvary, and it always will be the answer. We don't need modern gizmos and gadgets and phrases and theories and theologies. We simply and only need the message of the cross, because in it is life, and life eternal. Human wisdom, all it ever produces is death. Human wisdom says, I will believe when I see, when I understand, when I make sense of it, when it is on my terms. In other words, when you can agree with it, or it agrees with you. No, my friends. No. We don't become Christians by our own human wisdom. It is with the heart one believes. Faith, which is God's gift to all humanity. You say, I wish I had faith. Ever said that? God, I wish I had faith. Here you go. This is groundbreaking. You've got it. You've got it. You've got a heart that has the ability to believe. Most of the times when we say, I wish I had faith, it's because we're trying to mix faith with understanding. Can't do that. It's because we're trying to mix faith with seeing a sign. We're looking for the sign, and we say, when I see that sign, then I'll believe. No, you won't. That's not faith. Faith is a God-given ability, and He's given it to us all as a gift, so that when we read His word, when we read the message of the cross, we can believe it. Even though it doesn't make sense. Even though it doesn't compute. Faith is the ability that God has given to us. And it believes, even though it cannot see. Even though it does not understand. And it accepts God on His terms. That is how faith responds. When we're searching for a sign, when we're trying to understand it, we're not looking only to the cross. We're looking for a method. One of the things that plagues modern Christianity is methodology. Looking for a method to work something that only faith in Christ and in the cross can do, it will never work. Because if we find a method that we feel works, guess what our faith becomes in? The method. And as long as the method works, we're okay. But because God loves us so great, He ensures that the method doesn't work. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Where you've rested and leaned on a method, and then you've realized that God has pulled that from under you. And you say, God, why? Why have you done that? Let me illustrate this. Some of us even look at our times of devotion as a method. Those quiet times. Listen, don't put your hand up. But just in your heart, answer this. How many of you, when you've not been able to have your quiet times, your devotions, how many of you have gone into your day fearful of what might happen because you haven't had that? Perhaps feeling a little bit naked, uncovered. Yeah? There's a few nods, some honest nods going here. It's a method. You've relied upon that as a method rather than your intimate 24/7 relationship with God. So are you saying, Pastor, don't have devotion times? I didn't say that, no. Don't put words in my mouth. What I'm saying is, don't turn them into a method. Don't turn church attendance into a method. I'm okay as long as I get to a church service once a week. No, you're not. That's not what makes you okay. What about the other 166 hours? Hey? No, God wants us to walk 100% 24/7 with Him every moment of every day, whether we were awake or asleep, in His presence. It's not a method. It's not a method. People say to me so often, how can I hear God? How can I hear Him? How do you hear God? Do you know what my answer is? It's very simple. I talk to Him. I talk with Him. Guess what? He loves to talk back. You should try it sometime. And people say, you know, do you have some sort of method? Hey, gorgeous. And I say, no. It's not about a method. It's about what God worked at that cross at Calvary, where He joined, He fused together and made one, my spirit with His spirit. And now I live in that intimate 100% oneness with him 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And that's what he wants for all of us. It's not some geographic position. It's the cross of Jesus. And if that has not had its full work in your heart, my friends, I pray it does. From this moment on. Praise God. That's faith. Look at this. Paul says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It doesn't say none. So if you think you're smart, you're clever, you're intellectual, don't think God's not going to call you. That's not what it means. It's talking about those who depend on those things. But God has chosen the foolish things. Don't think you're a fool for following Jesus either. The foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame those things which think they're so fantastic. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? Why does God not allow us to rely on human abilities, on intellect, wisdom, strength, nobility? Why? Here's your answer. That no flesh should glory in his presence. My friends, it doesn't matter how wise we are in human terms, how smart, how intellectual we are, how great, how popular, how successful we are. Those things which are of the flesh, they will never be allowed to bring glory in the presence of God. Because it can only be through the work of Christ, and that only, that we have anything to glory about. But of him, God, you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glorifies, let him glory in the Lord. Paul says, when I was amongst you, I determined to know nothing. You know, he was a very intellectual man. Did you know that? He was exceptionally learned in the Old Testament scriptures. Really, one of the highest of highs. But when he came to that place of meeting with Christ on the road to Damascus, it all changed. That was not ejected. All of what he learned from the Old Testament scriptures was not wasted. It suddenly made sense. He suddenly realized how that in the Old Testament scriptures that the Spirit of God had written, Christ was being revealed in every single word. And they suddenly came to life. But he didn't go around teaching the law, the commandments anymore. What did he preach? Christ and him crucified. Because it was in Christ and in Christ crucified that the law made sense, was fulfilled, came to have any meaning at all. My friends, that's all we've got as Christians. We may be highly educated, and praise God for that. Praise God for that. Let's use it for God's glory. But let's not rely on it. Let's not depend on it. Let's not think that we can glory in that, in God's presence, because God will not have it. All that we can glory in the presence of God is that we are in Christ, one with him through his work at Calvary. Our last point, and this is by no means the least. Let me read you these verses from chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In fact, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here is why. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My friends, we live in a world that desperately needs the power of God. Can we take the music, please, young man? Desperately needs the power of God. The last thing this world needs are people standing up, speaking in their own strength and of their own wisdom, of their own cleverness. It's the last thing this world needs. It is sick to the back teeth of that. What this world needs are people for whom the cross and only the cross is sufficient for their lives. For those whom by faith believe in the work of Jesus, not only for themselves, but for this earth, for this world. Those who demonstrate by faith the power of God, who speak it, who live it, who don't put on some show, some pretense, some act, some veneer, but for whom the cross is so real that maybe it's all they ever talk about. Maybe it's the only thing that they hunger to influence their life. Because in it is power that will change this world. My friends, we don't need different politicians. God bless them. We don't need charities, good, well-meaning charities. What this world needs is the church to believe only in the cross of Jesus and not get ensnared and entangled with fads and fashions and methods and formulas, but solely preach the message of the gospel, because in it is the power of God to salvation. In it is the power and the message of God that will deliver a soul from the power of sin, that will heal a spirit, that will heal a soul, that will heal a body. In it, and it only. My friends, that's why every week when you are engaged in the life of this church, that's what you'll hear. The message of freedom, the message of strength, the message of purpose, rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ.